the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Let us pray. Yes, Lord, this is the day that you have made. And on the first day of the week, you raised Jesus from the dead. And each Sunday, Christians all over the world come together to remember the resurrection, to celebrate that this is your day. So bless us as we seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. This time I'd like for the boys and girls to come. Would you? You too. And hello, how are you? I have some pictures I want to show you all. I want you to see these because it has to do with my sermon. You see that fellow right there? Look. Who is that fellow? We don't know his name. But do you see how he's dressed? Isn't that interesting? What do you think that is right there?
A hat.
It's a hat. Now that's cute, isn't it? Look like feathers on top. You like that hat with feathers? Now, what's another name for that hat? A helmet. Yes, it's a helmet. See, it's called a helmet. Now, football players wear helmets, and it covers the head. A Roman soldier, and he is wearing a helmet to keep from his head from being cracked open because he is a fighter. He is a soldier. So he is not a player, but he is a soldier who is wearing a helmet.
Some hats are called like that.
Yes, that's right. So, boys and girls, you've seen a picture of a man who was a soldier in Jesus' time. You have another man in the Bible called St. Paul. And he looked at a soldier one time and he said, you know, the Christian has to have a helmet too. Because we must protect our mind from other things that come in besides Jesus. So we have all kinds of things out there that come into us and we learn about them and they're not all good. So be sure to put on the helmet that keeps our minds clear. Your church, your folks, all of us can help you find that helmet to keep only Christ in your head. Let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for pictures that illustrate what we need to know about life. And just as a Roman soldier wears a helmet to protect his head, just as football players wear helmets to protect their heads, may we have a helmet too. That a helmet that can protect our minds from the things that might hurt us. So bless us always and help us remember Jesus is what we need in our head. Amen. And thank you very much for coming up. Getting more and more folks in children's address time. Today we, of course, have our prayer time, our corporate time when we go to the Lord in prayer to ask His blessings upon us and to remember those that we need to lift up to the throne of grace. There may be those that you would like to add to the list that you have in the bulletin. If you would simply jot that down on your ritual friendship pads. Also, if you would, while you have the pads out, just sign up for today. We need to know you're here, and we need to know the names of guests and where you may be reached. So let's remember those as we pray. Those people that are on our hearts, filling us with concern. So shall we go to the Lord and ask His blessings upon us as we pray. Most gracious and ever-loving Heavenly Father, we praise your most holy name for your kindness, for your power, for your creativity, for your patience with us. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus and the joy of our salvation through Christ. We are grateful, O Lord, that you are love and that we are shown how to love through Christ. And the love is inside of our very beings and we share it. Thank you for abiding with us. Thank you for letting us approach the wonders and majesty of caring about each other and loving deeply and profoundly. We confess, O Lord, that at times we've taken you for granted, and we've also taken those that we love and who love us for granted, causing people to wonder, causing ourselves to wonder, where are you, God? Where are you, people that love both us and those that we love? We confess, O Lord, that we've fallen down in our communication with people we love, and certainly fallen down with our communication with you. We've neglected you, we've neglected ourselves, we've neglected others, and we confess that we repent. We confess and we repent. Please turn us away from being so busy, so caught up in our own selfish ways of doing things, that we pay attention to you, first of all, and to those that we love. Lord, as we look around, as we see, as we perceive the world, as we understand what we're being told, the world is surely without the presence of love in so many places. Yet we do recognize that the world would be in a far worse situation if the love that exists, even in the midst of pain and strife and war, if that love weren't there, it would be even worse. So help us to be a credit to your realm. Help us to operate and to respond to life through the lens and through the understanding of love itself. May we draw close to you and closer to those who need you, that we can witness because we're close to you, that we can witness to a world that needs love in the worst way. Use us as your agents, we beseech you. Lord, there are many in our knowledge that are hurting because they're ill, because they're bereaved. They are hurting because of broken relationships. Many that we know of are hurting because they don't have a saving knowledge of you. So we beseech you, God, touch those that we know in our hearts that need your healing hand. And if possible, use us to help you with that healing of folks who are hurting. Now, all these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Gently lead us by Moses will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be resaved.
Continue in our worship with the giving and receiving of God's tithes and our offerings. Let the ushers come forward.
Thank you. Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
All things come from you, O Lord, and it is of your own that we return to you. These your tithes and our offerings. Use this money, indeed use us, to be a credit to your realm and excellent witnesses in whatever way you wish. Amen. The scripture lesson for today is found in St. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, from the 6th chapter of the letter to the Ephesians, verses 10 through 20. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplications for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. Let us bow in prayer. Shall we pray? O Lord, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. Imagine with me for a few moments
that you are watching a transaction between St. Paul and an armed Roman guard. For St. Paul concluded that passage, ambassador in chains. Much of his life was spent preaching to people who guarded him. So picture in your mind's eye that Paul is shackled to the wall with one hand and with perhaps both feet, and he's free to write with the other hand, or perhaps that's shackled too, and there is a Roman guard looking at him at all times. Paul was quite notorious for getting out of jail. So if you caught St. Paul, you didn't want him to escape because you might lose your life if he does. So that's the image that he paints for us. That's the image I want us to see in our mind's eye. Paul's writing, he's trying to get his message across to the people at the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was a beautiful city. I went there about 30 years ago, and the ruins are still quite beautiful, marble, if you will. I walked down this long roadway, all of it marble, mind you, and came to the library, or what's left of it, great big shafts. It used to house many hundreds of scrolls. But what was most interesting, I found, as you go to the shops, occasionally you will see cut in the rock a fish. And so you look down and you say, aha, this is a member of the First Christian Church of Ephesus. Because if there's a fish in front of a store on the threshold, that means they're Christian. So to see that and recognize that Paul is writing to this church, and he is under guard, and he's trying to get them to see the importance of what he's writing. So what does he do? He simply looks at his guard, and he looks at how his armor protects different parts of his body. And so he starts with the belt. Paul thinks, you know, he's looking at the soldier and says, my goodness, most of what that soldier is wearing is defensive in nature. These parts of his armor protect him. So he recognizes that in the church of that day, much will attack the Christian people, just as in our day, much attacks us. Sometimes I think our day is much more difficult in which to live than in Paul's day, because our attacks come upon us in far more sinister ways. If, for example, you hear a tramp, 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 tramp of Roman sandals, look like, that's what they call them, boots, but looks like for us sandals, then you know you're in trouble. It's going to bang on the door. They're probably going to take you, maybe even run you through with their little sword that's double-edged. Now things impact us by airwaves, through our cell phones, through our television, through our phones themselves, our smartphones, every imaginable way a Christian is bombarded. You know that, and so do I. Difficult times. So Paul is writing to that church at Ephesus, and he's saying, look, the first thing you need to put on is the belt of truth. Truth is a basic virtue. It's a necessity if people are going to live an integrated life. That is to say, a life with integrity. What is truth? Pilate asked Jesus. Poor Pilate, he was looking at truth and he couldn't see it. So the belt of truth, put that on. We cannot exist, those of us who wear belts, without our belt. Can we? It would be interesting. I have suspenders that I occasionally wear, but I never wear a belt with suspenders because that would mean I would be a pessimist, right? Think about that. So the belt is of great importance for our wardrobe, but for the Roman soldier, it kept all of his armor together and focused. Paul says, put on the belt of truth. It is hard to find what is truth in this world of spin. Everything we can say or do say or hear has some spin to it. Did you realize that? We will say what has happened to us, but you may rest assured it will have some spin on it to make sure that if things weren't really good that happened to us and it's our fault, we'll spin that one off. You know how it works? If you don't, try talking to a middle schooler if you're the teacher and there's an altercation and everybody is guilty except the one speaking to the teacher. You know how that works. So what is truth? Truth is Jesus Christ. Well, let's not be vague, Bill. What is Jesus Christ? I answer that question in this way. Do you and I know when we are loved? Or when someone is just putting us on in order to get something from us? Do we know the difference there? Sometimes we know we're loved, but then things fall apart and we see that love really wasn't there all along. Illustrating further that it is hard to discern what is truth. It is sometimes very hard to see Jesus, to know Jesus, and this is exactly why St. Paul, no, it wasn't Paul, it was John. In 1 John chapter 4, tests the spirits to see which ones are of God. We have to test to find out. So the belt of truth. We live in a realm where the father of lies is rampant. Father of deception, father of spin is everywhere. All the more reason why we need to cinch up that belt of truth, which is Jesus Christ. We have these reaffirmations when we come to worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and so on. That is our belt of truth, or if you will, our spin on reality, which we hold as truth. Secondly, St. Paul looks at this man. He's probably a very big man, very strong man, because the way they did battle was with this broad sword, but only this long, but with double edges. So he will be hacking away at his opponent, even as the opponent hacks away at him. So he has another piece of his armor known as the breastplate that covers all the essential organs in the torso, but especially the heart, protecting the vital organs, especially the heart, is something that's critical if we are going to have integrity as a Christian. This means that we are to live the ethical life as seen in the Ten Commandments, as seen in the Beatitudes, as seen in the teachings of Christ. This is our breastplate of righteousness. We have to live rightly. If we try to live with a bit of shady things going on to the side, we are going to be in a mess sooner or later. I don't know how much you are aware of the hacking into this massive database of people way up in society who use that database to find evening friends, if you get my drift. Somebody hacked that, and all of a sudden, many people, prominent people, are quaking because guess what? Their shadow side likely will be exposed. So stay tuned. If we're not entertained by the politicians of the day, hang in there. Let's see what happens when somebody that's, shall we say, Snowden-like in nature exposes these folks who had a shadow side. So the breastplate of righteousness is that righteousness which does not have shadows. Living right protects the heart. Make no mistake about it. And then as St. Paul looks at the soldier, he notices his footwear. Those sandals are pretty tough. In the wintertime, they'll have more than sandals. But they are among the most important part of the armor of the soldier. Why? Because soldiers have to march. They have to march long distances, and they do not need footwear that's going to wear out of them. Very few of those soldiers could ride in chariots or ride in horses. Only the officers or specialized military people could handle the chariots. The rest, guess what? What we would call back in the 50s, the shoe leather express. They walked. So St. Paul looks at those sandals and he says, you got to take care of your feet. Critically important. As you know, I play tennis twice a week. And all of us make sure our footwear is in good condition. Because if that footwear is not in good condition, we won't get the balls that are short or wide. And furthermore, our feet will hurt so much we can't play until the next week. So footwear is important. Why for the Christian? Because the Christian journey is very long. It's in one's entire life. And it is a journey. It's not sitting down and saying, thank you, Jesus, I've got it made. Now, you just come to me anytime, but make sure I'm comfortable. It doesn't work that way. A Christian journey is a journey, and we must take care of our feet because we're going to be moving. Jesus moves in front of us. He calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. And we got to have shoes so that we can follow him. Proclaiming the gospel of peace is our job. We're to do that wherever we are. So I have a question for you. How many of us talked about Jesus with a total stranger lately? Anybody? There's one. Anybody else? Talked about Jesus, witnessed to Jesus, saw something occurring in front of you and said, you know, that's the sort of thing my Lord does. What you did was Christian. That's a tremendous way to witness because you see them doing something of a wonderful nature which could easily be identified with Jesus. That's called a witness. What you did just now is what Christ does. And after all, dear friends, on our journey to follow Jesus, we're just called to be witnesses. We're not called to convince or to debate or to say my faith is better than yours because I go to Rockwood United Methodist Church. No, we don't do that. That's not witnessing. That's called spin or propaganda. But when we see witness in front of us, call it. That's Christian. That's using the excellent shoes we have that protect the feet and allow us the long journey of Christian faith. Then Paul notices probably that shield was propped up in the corner. It was a tall shield, sometimes 3 to 4 feet tall and a couple of feet wide. That shield was very important because the soldier putting it on his forearm could lift it up when he sees arrows coming at him, and the arrows would hit the shield instead of himself. Or rocks. Here come the rocks. Hold that shield up And it was a heavy shield made out of wood and leather. And it would help defend the soldiers. But what's interesting, when those Roman legions knew that there was an attack coming, those soldiers would line up side by side, turn their shield so that the length of it was like this instead of vertical. And they would hold their javelins ready and they would fight from a defensive position. So a shield, once again, is a defensive position. And that's, you see, is the importance of the church. Many people say they can be a Christian without going to church. But in that affirmation, they are omitting the power of the religious community of followers of Jesus. How many times in your life and in my life have we seen the importance of the gathered community stand up, cry with, celebrate with, and enjoy the successes or comfort people who are hurting? That's like the Roman soldiers holding those shields in a horizontal position. That's what the church does. We stand with each other, and we need all the support that we can possibly obtain. So, the Roman shield, we use that to protect and to support the gathered community of believers. And then finally, St. Paul sees the helmet. He hadn't taken that helmet off that Roman soldier. That's very important. And we're just now learning what football players have to deal with when they've used their heads with the helmet on, even as battering rams. Now we're beginning to see, you know, the old brain kind of got jostled within the cranium. And they're beginning to see, wow, what a price. The helmet protects the head. For us Christians, we need protection of our mind, which allows us to reflect, to analyze information which continually comes upon us, to think through the realities, to parse out the spin, to find the truth behind what we have heard, what we are seeing, what we are doing, and I might add, how we're going to vote next year. What is spin? What is reality? Christian people use their heads. And when we remember that spin is reality, then we've got to look further for the truth. The head must be protected. St. Paul knows this, cites it in another place, Romans 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Dear friends, mindlessness can easily come to conforming with the ways of the world or forgetting the path of salvation. Think, folks, think. God gave us critical abilities. We need the helmet of salvation to keep us thinking. So mindlessness can cause us a great struggle in defending the faith. Mindlessness can hamper us spreading the word of salvation. So you see, the church is different from the rest of culture. Culture seems to be going right along in whatever way happens to be the greatest and latest fad. Christians are called upon to discern. The base metal, so to speak, of the Christian is Jesus Christ. The base metal is found and witnessed to in the scriptures. We have what we call a metaphysic. We have a value system, and we are to use it. And in our society, churches and religions are pretty well marginalized. We're kind of sloughed off. People vandalize or burn churches. Government sometimes gets in the way of mission. I never will forget how at our own RMA, Rockwood Ministerial Association, I was told by my wife that we had so many regulations that we've got to go through before the people who need food can get food. Now, I don't know what's going on here, but I do know that when you're hungry, you're hungry. And I do know that if you have regulations from the government that says you've got to do this before you do that, that is impairing in some degree, and I'd like to hear the argument against it. But if somebody's hungry and you have food, there's a problem here if they can't get it. Do you follow me? And I think Christians need to be very much aware of that. And instead of looking at the bureaucracy of detail, pick up this Bible and see that the Christian is to feed the hungry, period. Okay? So we live in a time when there is no holds barred capitalism. We've got environmental destruction and materialism is rampant. Thinking about me first is the way of life. Being in a certain class or a certain race or a certain gender or a certain ethnic group, that's out there, people. That's out there. And that's infected all of us. And you and I are called upon to discern, to think through the issues and say, what is truth? What do we need to be doing for Jesus, for heaven's sake? Not to fulfill our fears or somebody else's prejudice, but to find out where Jesus wants us to be and to spread the love of Christ. That's our calling. And so with St. Paul, we are indeed to put on the armor. The armor. The analogy of the Roman soldier is perfect. Ah, but there's one more thing Paul talks about. He looks, and in the soldier's belt is that sword. The sword. That's the only offensive weapon the soldier is wearing. Now, there is a javelin and a small knife he will have as well. But the sword is his main work of offense against the enemy. The sword. That Roman sword about this big, and it's got two edges to it. Oh my, a double-edged sword. That means it cuts both ways. The Christian is to call to account a society that is hostile to the church in many, many ways and going to get more hostile toward the church, religion across the board. But that same sword judges us. And it is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, that measures us to see how we are doing with the journey of following Jesus. May God help us, because it's not going to be easy. But with Christ, with our Spirit, with Christ's Spirit, we cannot fail. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The hymn is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's number 526 in books as well as on the screen. There may be those individuals who would like to come about the altar for prayer or perhaps to join this congregation of Christ's Church. If you would come as we sing this hymn, we'd be very, very pleased to welcome you and to receive.
Go in peace, people of God. Cover everything you do with prayer, for what a friend we have in Jesus. And may Jesus guide all of us on our journey of faith into God's future. Blessings be upon you.